Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good, good. Full of joy, I hope. You know, I just want to say that I think our worship arts team is top notch. Can we just give them a round of applause? From the lighting in here, to our set design, to the musicianship, to all that worship looks like and the experience it is on a Sunday morning, I just think is really awesome, and I just want to say thank you to all of our team and all of our musicians that we have. So one more round of applause, huh? Yeah. I'm just singing, I'm just like, man, God is good, and man, this is so cool, you know, and so I just had to acknowledge that. Well, good morning. My name is Ryan Clement, and I'm the Student Ministries Director here. And it's my joy to get to preach to you this morning on our topic, love. And just kidding, joy. I thought I was trying to like, that's the wrong one. Yeah. Well, this week we continue to celebrate Advent, which is our preparation for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we celebrate joy. As I was reflecting on joy this week, I kept thinking, it's such a simple word. It's only got three letters, but it seems like one of those things that is more difficult to attain with the more age and life experience that we have. It seems that children at play understand joy far better than us adults. And it seems that all too often, the older we get, the more difficult joy is, especially when we go through hardship. It's easy to play on a slide when you're three. You don't know any better. But when life gets hard, joy becomes really tough. And I said this to Hartley many times this week as I was preparing the sermon. I said, baby, this is the wrong week to preach on joy. Right? There's just a lot going on. I've had a cold all week. I was just in bed on Tuesday, literally like 12 hours straight, just like body aches, like, right? I'm still feeling the resonance of that. On Wednesday night, I got a call from my mom because my great uncle Tom, who's 92, was hospitalized with a heart attack, and he passed away on Thursday morning. And so I'm just still trying to process that, you know? And then on Thursday morning on my way into work, I was rear-ended. I know. Hartley, God bless her, she's so strong, has just been battling pregnancy, illness, and sickness, and having a cold on top of that, which is where I got it. Her coughing keeps both of us up at night. And she's got this wheezing thing she does. It's not her fault, she's sick. In addition, Hartley's navigating a full-time job while being pregnant and sick. And I've been working on my final papers this week for seminary. I told Hartley many times, this is the wrong week to preach on joy. Let's just pray. God, we are so grateful for you that in the midst of whatever it is that we are going on, that we are going through, God, that you are good. That your ways are higher, that your love is greater, that you have a plan for us, Lord, that we can worship you in all circumstances. So God, we pray this morning that you would bestow on us a powerful presence of joy as we recognize that a Savior has been born, a Savior for the world, as we recognize the blessings that you pour out day in and day out. God, through the trials and the tribulation, again we will say, forever and ever, rejoice and be glad. So God, speak through these words this morning, have your way, and we just give you the glory in Jesus' name, amen. You know what, I think this is actually the perfect week to preach on joy. It really is. This Friday, as I was preparing for the message, not that it was like my beginning of preparation. I was in my process of preparation. And I woke up about 10 o'clock because I had to sleep in because I was just feeling so junky. And I spent like 3 or 4 hours preparing and just praying through and just working on things. And I just felt stuck. I just felt heavy. I just felt, what am I doing? What is this? I just am imagining all your faces blank, like, what is this guy even trying to do, you know? And I'm like, God, what am I supposed to say? So I went to just take a hot shower and just let the fluids drain out and just kind of try to relax and just take a break. And then I just came out of the shower, got ready, and I just went to my guitar and I just worshiped God. And I just sang. And I just, for 30 minutes, I just said, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. And I was just coming up with any new song that I could and just thanking God for anything that I could. And out of all my sermon preparation, I felt like that is what God spoke to me through the most. Just saying, whatever's going on, Ryan, just worship me. Just come to me. Just give me praise. Just give me glory. So the first thing I want to talk to you about joy this morning is that joy is a choice. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to define a little bit happiness and joy. Happiness I want to define as circumstantial. And what I mean by that is I love food. Anybody here like food? Especially some of those food trucks. They do some crazy fusion, like Mexican sushi. Like, I don't even know, but it's so good, you know. Some of you are like, what the heck's going on? But I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what kind of mood I'm in. Food is always a plus, right? And one night, Hartley and I were just feeling down and out and discouraged and just kind of, we're really just overtired. And it was our date night and we're supposed to go do something and we're just feeling kind of junky. And then we thought, Olive Garden. And I'll tell you, we got to Olive Garden, we waited a little bit, we got seated, and the whole way we're just like, man, I'm just not feeling good. But as soon as Hartley put that breadstick in her mouth, bang! It was gold from then on out. We had the best date, everything was good, right? If you've been to Olive Garden, you know what I'm talking about. Don't try to disagree. You know, you can request like the oil and vinegar on the side and dip the breadsticks in that. It's extra good. But anyways, food will always make me happy. So happiness is just based on the circumstances, you know, a feeling of excitement, like, you know, gratitude or whatever that is. But I want to define joy as coming from God when we choose to focus on God and his promises through every circumstance. You see, joy is not ignoring the realities. Joy is not me avoiding the funeral I'm going to be attending on Monday. Joy is not me just blocking out all the busyness that's going on and checking out from the world. But joy is taking all of these things and worshiping God through them. Joy is a command from the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, to be joyful always. And all throughout Scripture, we see that joy is not just encouraged, like, hey, you should try to be a little joyful sometimes. It might help. But joy is actually commanded from the Lord. And if we know anything about joy, we know that it's not just something that you put on, right? Sometimes we'll say that, yeah, I'm really happy right now. But we know that inside we're being so sarcastic, right? We have to choose to fight for joy. God desires joy for his people. It's not just a command, but God literally desires that we would be full of joy. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15. Now, this is in the day of Moses, and the writing is about the different festivals that the people of God are being commanded to celebrate. And this is just a little snippet. It says, for 7 days, celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all your work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. And this is one of three of the festivals that are commanded to be celebrated, and all of them talk about celebrating them with joy. You see, I want us to know very deeply that God desires to bless his children. God doesn't have it out for you. God's not trying to punish you. God's not trying to separate you out. He's not trying to beat you up for what you did or what you didn't do. But God truly desires to bless his people. right? That scripture talks about blessing the work of their hands, blessing their produce, right? Blessing what they do so that they may be filled with what? Joy. God wants to bless them, right? But it's really interesting that in this verse we can see, if you want to go back to it, Jacob, in this verse we can see that their joy is completed through celebration. They experience their joy in the act of spending 7 days of celebration. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love it if, like, we decided as the United States, we are going to take 7 days off from work, all of us. And we're going to show up to whatever houses or whatever communities you're a part of, and we're just going to feast, we're going to grub, and we're going to celebrate and rejoice and be grateful to God, and that's it for 7 days straight. I think that would be awesome, just eating and celebrating God for 7 days. It's really interesting because the scripture could have said, hey, make sure you take a minute out of your day and just say, thanks, God, and go from there. But that's not what it says. It's not what God commands. God commands 7 days of celebration so that their joy may be expressed and completed. So celebration is necessary to the experience of joy. We need to be a people who are actively celebrating even in our daily lives, because we don't always get 7 days off in a row. That's a rarity. A few nights ago, as Hartley and I were going to bed, she just took off in a prayer of just thanking God. We just thought, you know what? We just need to thank God for some things. So we started thanking God for our bed. We've got this super nice, like one of those like memory foam. Oh, those, that's gold, I'm telling you. It's like you lay in it and you just can't get up, you know? So we were thanking God for that. We were thanking God for shelter in the rain. We were thanking God for food. There's food again. We were thanking God for our marriage, for our friends, and just anything that we could think of, because we were feeling heavy from the week, but we wanted to celebrate. I want us to think about today how we can institute celebration more in our lives. Some friends of mine, before every meal, they like to give a toast. They like to give a thanks, and they just toast to God and say, God, thank you for this today. You know, maybe it's a prayer before you leave the house. Maybe it's once a week you have a really nice meal and you just say, this is just to thank God and praise him for all that he's done, you know? Maybe it's writing little notes or creating different crafts or posting online on social media, something that you're grateful for, that you're thankful for. But I'm convinced as I've studied the scriptures that a part of joy is celebration. Now, celebration is really easy when things are going well. But it's really hard in times of difficulty, in times of suffering, in times of pain, loss, torture, depression, anxiety, sadness. It's really hard to choose joy. But here's what James says in James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's kind of crazy because what James is saying is when we go through hardship, we're supposed to take joy in that. And there's a good reason. You see, God is perfecting us. When we go through challenges, when we go through trials, our sin becomes so much more evident, right? I'm really good at loving Hartley when I'm really rested. I've got plenty of sleep. I've got some good food in my stomach. And I've just had time to myself. It's easy for me to just, I love you, baby. Let me wash the dishes, you know? But it's really hard when I'm tired, when I'm sick, when it's been a week like this, just with so much going on, to continue to express love. And my shortcomings are elevated very quickly to the surface. But you see, James is elevating the value of becoming more like Christ above anything else. And saying that no matter how hard it gets, no matter what's going on, This is an opportunity to be perfected in the image of our Savior, Jesus. So whatever trial it is that we are going through, we can declare it as good. Not that in it of itself something good is happening, but that God is doing work in all things. So one example for me is criticism. I hate criticism. I love affirmation. I will say 10 nice things before I have to critique you. And I get really super sensitive when I get critiqued, right? And so, but criticism is so, when it's done in the right way, is so helpful for growing and maturing and becoming more like Christ. And so for me, criticism has been one of those things that just stings to the heart, that just stings to the core, that I want to shy away. And it's easy for me to just reject or ignore or avoid what is being said. But if I take this passage of James seriously, I need to count it as joy when I feel any sort of pain through my inadequacies, because God wants to perfect me. So I read this book called Criticism Bites, and I spent a lot of time just praying through, God, help me to take critique well in a way that I would take joy in becoming more like you. But maybe it's not just criticism. Maybe it's losing a job. Maybe it's losing a loved one. Maybe it's the continued hospital visits that don't seem to end. Maybe it's deep family wounds that we don't think will ever heal. Maybe it's a child or a grandchild who is just not on the right path, and it doesn't matter what you do or what you say, they just go further and further. Whether it's the pain of loss or the sorrow of just the different struggles that we go through, this passage becomes more and more difficult. Yeah, it's easy for me to stand up here and say, count it all joy, everybody, it's all good. But we know that some of these things are just so hard to deal with. Romans 8:18, Paul says this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. I love that verse. Because we have a glory, we have a hope that is promised to us in Christ Jesus. And Paul says that whatever sufferings we are going through right now, it's not even worth comparing to the glory that God has for us. That we have a greater hope, that we have a greater joy in Christ and in all that God is doing to make the world new. But in God's presence, there's a joy. We've been talking about simply Christmas, and we've been talking about trying to simplify. And Hartley's been working on her crafts, like we were talking about that a few Sundays ago. And we've been trying to make things a lot easier for us. And sometimes we've had some victories, and sometimes we haven't. And has anybody here felt at all like maybe this season's been a little simpler? Does anybody feel like it's just been really stressful? Yeah. And it just seems like something we got to keep fighting for. But you see, God reminds us that possessions won't satisfy. Ironically, Christmas, the season that celebrates Christ's birth and the joy that comes with it, in many ways has become a season that celebrates stuff and possessions. You know, you got to get the tree, you got to get the ornaments, you got to get the gifts, you got to have the stuff out. And sometimes that can be fun and full of joy, and sometimes that can just be overwhelming. Psalms 4:7 says this, fill my heart with joy when their grain and new wine abound. And another translation says, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. And the psalmist is saying this, even though the people around me have all the stuff they need and way more, and I am without, God, your joy that you have put in me is far more than any possession that I could have. In the end, it doesn't matter how much stuff we get, it doesn't matter how much is going our way or not going our way. What matters is that God's presence is ultimately what gives us joy. And we have access to that through Jesus, our Savior. Psalm 16:11 says this: "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." I love that. That we're not expected to just live this life blindly, but that God makes clear to us, he makes known to us how we are to live, and that he loves to fill us with joy in his presence. And I go back to how busy this week has been and how stressful, and that time on Friday afternoon when I just took 30 minutes out to just stop and just worship God and just give him praise and just give him glory. And I'll tell you, that's probably the most joy I've experienced in a long time. Because there is joy in his presence. I remember singing about just surrender. God, I can only do so much. I just need you. I just need you. And Christ teaches his disciples that for them to achieve joy, it means abiding in him. So John 15, verse 11, Jesus tells his disciples, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." In John 15, Jesus spends that chapter, not that he spoke in chapters, but we now have, you know, broken down in chapters for reference. But Jesus is basically saying, abide in me, trust in me, obey what I've commanded. Like, be in tune with the Father. Like, I'm connected to the Father, and you need to be connected to me, right? And as we abide in Christ, that is how our joy is full and complete. But I'll tell you what. I can talk about joy all day long, but sin kills joy. Sin just kills it. It messes it up. I wrote some sins up on the wall here, on the TV screen, on the wall. And I just want us to take a look at this, because this stuff robs us of joy. I love to tell my students, when God says, save sex for marriage, he's not trying to mess up your fun. He's trying to set you up to win for a lifetime. He's trying to set you up for what's right. That there is greater joy in saving that for the marriage covenant than the fun you think you're going to have on Saturday night when you went to the party you weren't supposed to and you had too much to drink when you shouldn't be drinking anyways. So look at this and see. And ask God, God, highlight for me what is on here that I got a problem with, that is robbing me of my joy. Because maybe it's comparison. I know I do that. I'm not as good as that person. I'm not doing as much as that person. Look at me. Ooh, I'm not doing so hot. Maybe it's jealousy. Our busyness or our stress or I know I try to work out of my own strength all the time. Well, when I stop and just say, God, I need you to give me your strength, it changes things. Even cheating on a test. Sin is our foolish like believing the wrong thing when we think that we're going to get some sort of momentary gain, but we end up losing big in the long run. And sin will rob us of joy all day. There's a quote, I think by Euripides. I don't really know how to pronounce his name. But it says, short is the joy that guilty pleasure brings. And that's the reality. And in our fast food, give me this now, microwave technology culture, we want it now. And we will choose the now over the right. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that verse is just jam-packed. But two things that I loved as I read it were Paul's encouragement to get rid of sin as we run this race to finish well. And the second was that Jesus had joy as he went to the cross. That it was out of joy that he took on our shame, that he took on our guilt. I just think it's so cool when the Bible says that God dances over us, that God has so much joy for us. So wherever you're at this morning, I want you to know that God is in the business of restoring joy. I think that joy could be a good litmus test, that anytime during the day, we should be able to look at our lives and say, do I have joy right now? And if the answer to that is no, I don't think so, maybe, kind of, sort of, we should take some time to stop and pray and give thanks and worship. And pray that God would restore our joy. Pray that God would realign us. Three things that really help me to recover joy are worship, celebration, and thanksgiving. So wherever we are at today, maybe you are in the place of living for the moment, always hoping that happiness comes your way, and we need to be reminded that we need to choose joy in all circumstances. Maybe you've struggled with thinking that God actually desires good for you because you keep punishing yourself, because you keep messing it up, because you keep diverting joy. You know, one of the biggest mistakes people make is service means I'm not going to have joy. Service has to be a sacrifice, right? So I'm going to go to the food distribution. Now, I'm not saying people do this. Our food distribution volunteers are awesome, right? But I'm going to make sure that it's hard for me because I'm serving God. Sometimes we can have this attitude that service is supposed to be with a lack of joy. And when you serve, you know that it can be one of the most joyful things. Or maybe this morning, we're just going through such a hard time that you're just saying, I don't even know how I could ever choose joy in the suffering that I'm going through. Ryan, you don't know what I've had to do this week. You don't know what I've had to go through this year. And it is just so hard. And I'm reminded of Job, who loses everything, right? All of his possessions, all of his cattle, his animals, his servants, his family. And when he loses everything, you know what Job's response is? He falls down and he worships. He says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Naked I came, and naked I'll leave. And he worships God. Or maybe we've been getting too caught up in just all the stuff of life. Or maybe we're just really struggling with some sin. You know, that's the one I wanted to shy away from. It was like, I just want to graze over the sin part. But the reality is that sin really does kill. So wherever you're at this morning, whatever you're experiencing, whatever's been highlighted in your heart, I want us to just take that and to first bring it to the Lord. And then we're going to have some response stations that we can begin to process these things through. I just want to say too, bitterness and resentment can just kill joy. One of the biggest and most common sins is unforgiveness. And we can spend our life being so frustrated. I once heard it said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison every day and blaming someone else. And I think that for some of us here today, that's something that we need to give up because it's robbing us of joy. So we have our usual stations, if you're familiar with them, but you can go to the candles and you can light them as a way of saying a prayer, maybe on behalf of someone, maybe as a praise to the Lord. We have our cross there in the back. If you've got some stuff you just don't want to get off your chest, we have our communion stations to just acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and that we are forgiven and we are made new. We have a prayer team in the back, and we have this really cool Christmas tree here. Down here we've got ornaments and pens, and you can write on there. If there's something that you're grateful for, you're thankful for, that you've had joy for, or you just want to give God glory or praise for something, come and write it there and set it on the tree. Y'all, there's no judgment in this. If you want to stay seated and pause and reflect, if you want to sing, if you want to go to the stations, I just want to encourage you, go where you need to go. Don't go where you think somebody wants you to go. Don't go where you think you should go because you'll feel bad if you don't. Go where God is leading you to go and respond. And may this response time be just the beginning of what God has for us in this week. Let me just pray for us. God, we just give you the glory, and we just praise your holy name, and we thank you that you've sent your son Jesus, born as a little babe, that we might be forgiven and set free. Thank you that we've got a huge advantage, and that's you, that you are our God, and you say that we are your people. And like sheep that go astray, no matter how much we wander away, you love to restore us and make us new. God, we pray this morning that you would restore joy in your presence. We just give you the glory, God, and we just thank you. Have your way in our lives. Not for our glory, God, but for yours. In Jesus' name.